One of our scripture readings this morning is from the book of Psalms. And Psalm 50, verses 7 through 15. Listen carefully for the word of God. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I'll testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or a goat from your folds, for every wild animal in the forest is mine. The cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the air, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all that is in it is mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And may your vows be made to the Most High. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The word of the Lord.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, beginning at the 32nd verse. Hear now these words. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick and with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Here ends our gospel lesson. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for these words of Holy Scripture. For they are to us an instruction for life. And so as we ponder them this morning, help us to learn your teachings through them. Amen. Christian author Richard Fairchild tells a story of how Satan called a worldwide convention of demons. In his opening address, Satan said, "We can't keep Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading the Bible and knowing the truth, so we have to do something else." Satan looked at his audience and went on, saying, "We have to steal their time so they don't have time to develop a relationship with Jesus. This is what I want you to do, distract them from gaining a hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout their day." One of the demons shouted out, "How shall we do this?" And the head demon said, "Keep them busy. Keep them busy with the non-essentials of life and invent schemes to occupy their minds. Persuade them to go to work for long hours, 6 and 7 days a week, 10 and 12 hours a day, so they can afford their empty lifestyles. Make them bring their work home so that there is no escape. Overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear that still small voice of their God trying to talk to them. Entice them to desire noise at all time. Keep the radio on in the car, the TV on at home. Make sure that they are attracted to their phone so that they must look at it constantly. All this will distract them from the important things and break their union with Christ. Keep them busy running errands, attending games, doing projects so that they don't have time to sit and rest. So they don't have time to reflect on God's creation. And when they do take a moment to rest, fill their minds with all the things they have to get done so that their minds will be busy even when their bodies aren't. And if they must talk to God, make sure that they don't have time to listen to God. Soon they will be doing everything with their own strength and draining themselves in the process. Then they will be ours. Do this and it will work. It will work, shouted the demons. And the convention ended, and the demons went eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to have little time for their God and no energy to follow the teachings of Jesus. Which got me to thinking, did it work on you? And did it work on me? For many of us, Fairchild describes a picture of our world. I was talking to a fellow pastor this week, and she told me that the people of her church, her busyness, their busyness index was right here before the pandemic. And then she said the pandemic came and the busyness index for most of them dropped down to here. And then the pandemic gradually ended and their busyness index started creeping back up. And now, she said, it's up to here. The thing is, they hated it when it was here. And now it's up to here. I don't know if that's true for you. It's true for a lot of people. For those who work, staffing shortages in all sorts of industries have made working extra hours a necessity. For others, they have to work two jobs just to pay the bills. For parents, that are not only the hours spent working, but there are the hours spent shuttling your kids around from one place to another. Even those who are retired are pressed into service in all sorts of ways, making many a retiree wonder if they are really retired. And the question for all of us is this: is our busyness getting in the way of connecting with God? Today's scripture reading from the Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus busy doing many things. If we go back a few verses earlier, we would read that Jesus had already been to the synagogue to worship. And while he was there, he took time to cast out an unclean spirit. Then he traveled to Peter's home where he spent his time healing. Jesus certainly was busy, but he was not distracted. And I think that is his point here. Ours is a busy world, and we're making it even busier. The crowds that gathered when Jesus came to town with him made him busy from dawn to dusk. And I don't even need to mention the rigors of travel or the irregular meals. And the fact that he didn't even have a place to go home to. Certainly, Jesus was busy, just as we seem to be. But Jesus teaches us two things about our lives in this passage today. First, we need to stay focused on our purpose. And second, we need to take time for God. First, Jesus teaches us that it's not the busyness that is our problem, it is the distractions. We allow ourselves to be distracted by our busyness, but not so with Jesus. I'm sure that Jesus could have had another full day of healing had he stayed in Capernaum, but he knew that that would be a distraction. As he says to his disciples, let us go to other towns so that I can proclaim the message, for that is what I came to do. That is what I came to do. During one of the many wars in Europe in the 18th century, the English army had mounted cannons on a bluff overlooking the river. The cannons prevented the French from moving their ships down the river so they could attack the English. The French general assigned a company of troops to attack the English and spike their cannons, rendering them useless. The French soldiers stormed the bluff and drove the English from their cannons. The French immediately celebrated their victory by pursuing the English down the other side of the bluff. However, the English regrouped and attacked the French troops and sent them fleeing back down to the river. What was lost in all this was the fact that the French had failed to spike the cannons when they had first driven the English out. They had forgotten what their primary purpose was. Had they spiked the cannons instead of pursuing the English, they would have won the battle even if they had retreated afterwards. Jesus could not allow the demands of the crowd to distract him from his primary purpose, to proclaim God's message of love to all that he could. Certainly, there was more healing work to be done in Capernaum, but he had other places to go, other people to teach. He needed to move on. And in addition to keeping that singular focus, Jesus also would never let his work keep him from finding time to be with God. Over and over in the Gospels, we read how Jesus would withdraw to a quiet place to pray. Even in this passage, we read that before dawn, he went off to pray. Decades ago, Kathy and I would watch the TV show ER. And not all of you are going to remember that show. But it was a drama about life in a hospital emergency room. And one of the things I still remember about that show is that whenever the doctors or nurses were overwhelmed by what was happening in the ER, they would retreat to the rooftop of the hospital so that they could decompress from the pressures. There they would gather their strength again and go back to the craziness below. So it is with us. We need a few rooftop times with God so that we might find the strength for our body and our soul to do what God has called us to do. And in so doing, we will regain our focus so that no person or demon will be able to distract us from what is really important. Amen.